Welcome to Finding Our Way. My name's James. My good friend Larry and myself are inviting you to join us in the conversations that we're having of our journey to finding our way to the goodness of God. God is good. God is love. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses against them. So come on, let's go. The party has already started. I told you a little bit the other day, but I want to tell you the story today.
All right, what's this horse's name?
Dusty.
A horse named Dusty?
Yep.
Okay, is this a true story?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't tell any other guy.
I'm just asking for clarification, James.
Of course, growing up, where I grew up, I like to say it was in the country, which it was, but...
Yeah, we in the country right here, James.
It was a little community in the country. So there was probably 5 or 6 households down there where I was on the end of the road. But growing up, we'd ride bikes and trails in the woods. I always had horses and dogs. Sometimes I had more than one horse at a time, but usually just one. But I always had dogs. Anyway, this horse was a retired barrel racing horse. He had pretty good, he cut a corner pretty quick. It was an Opelousas.
Yeah.
I'm saying that right.
I know what you're talking about.
So I'm riding Dusty. My buddy, my sidekick, we called him Dick, but his name was Sean.
Okay.
He had a horse that was a paint. Like an Indian, horse.
Yeah, right.
Pretty horse. His name was Apache. I think Sean thought he was kind of half Indian anyway. Yeah. He was kind of crazy.
Anyway.
He was crazy like that. So we're riding Dusty and Apache. And we always rode. But this was in the wintertime, I'm pretty certain. We had gotten a lot of rain. And some of the areas was flooded. Where we would normally ride, we'd ride down this road, what I call, it's more like a wagon road, but there was some travel on it from time to time for various reasons, but just a trail basically through the woods. And there was a creek in these woods, and there's a bridge across that creek. Well, that creek was flooded out of its banks. Water's over the road, over the bridge. You can't see none of it.
Right.
You can see the trees, and we knew about where the road was and the bridge was, so we're just going to keep riding down that road across this bridge. Water is over my boots in them stirrups because it's up to the horse's chest probably.
Wow.
You know, it's pretty
deep
across the bridge.
Yeah, so you're on top of the bridge.
Yes.
And the water's that deep.
Oh yeah, yeah. And you can't see the bridge. No.
So you're just assuming it's not washed out.
Yeah, and
it's
we
one
know
your brighter moves.
And we know where it is. Yeah,
where it's supposed to be.
I'm probably 16, maybe.
Yeah.
16, 17 years old. Yeah, that's one of my brighter moves. So Sean, he's on my right, on his horse. We're making our way across that bridge, and all of a sudden, me and my horse disappear because he walks off the bridge, off the side of it, and we go under. And I don't know why I didn't really think about it, but I just grabbed that saddle horn and I'm holding on for dear life. Of course, we're underwater for a little bit, but he starts swimming. I'm just holding on and he's swimming. His head, you know, horse, his head was above the water, but I got your head
barely above the water.
Yeah. So he swims out, you know, on the other side of the creek, get on some not so much deep water. It ain't so deep over there. But anyway, so that was one of the, Sean, he probably thought I did it on purpose, but I didn't, because that'd be something I'd do. Oh, let's just try this. But that was one of the many times I was a recipient of God's grace before I ever knew what it was.
Yeah.
I call it grace. I don't know. I mean.
A whole lot could have went wrong in that situation.
Man, I could have fell off the saddle. I could have caught a hoof in the head.
Yeah.
Been laying at the bottom of the creek.
Or just the current.
Yeah, because the water was moving.
Well, I guess you came off, I'm going to say the downstream side, because if you was upstream, it'd have sucked you back under the bridge, I guess.
Well, no.
I don't know.
I don't remember which way the water was flowing, but Dusty was a good horse, and he was a good swimmer. Yeah, he was a good swimmer.
Yeah, 30 years ago, it was crystal clear to me.
I had all the answers. I could tell you, too. You need to do.
Yeah, you just shut up and listen to me.
That's right. Oh, man. God is good.
He is good.
I was thinking about that this morning when we say God is good.
Yeah.
What does that mean? He's just.
Mm-hmm.
He's merciful.
Mm-hmm.
He's good. There's nothing. There's no darkness in him.
Yeah.
Well, I can't help but think about some of the theology I grew up on and began to study as I was pastoring, walking in it, learning it, as it were. The idea that it's because that God is infinite and God is holy and he is high and just.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore he cannot look upon sin.
Yeah.
He cannot let this slide.
Yeah.
But do you remember that verse? I think it's in Amos, where it's that I quoted, he's holy and cannot look upon sin. Right. What Amos was saying, why are you doing this then? Because he's right down there with them in their sin.
It's Habakkuk, I think.
Habakkuk.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Because the Assyrians were coming against the Israelites.
Yeah, it wasn't that he wasn't.
It's like, I don't understand why you're letting these pagan Gentiles invade your chosen people. You know.
Yeah, so the idea that he can't look upon sin is totally taking that out of context.
Oh, man, yeah. Well, but then the phrase takes a life of its own and a theology of its own.
And then we got this idea that it's only from the time that you're about 12 or so until you die. If you don't get something right in that span of time.
Mm-hmm.
It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment.
Yeah.
That one verse, which that ain't even properly understood.
Yeah. Yeah.
In other words, God, because he's this just, holy, and righteous judge, you got 70 years or so, some of them not that long. If you don't get it right, you're going to be standing before him. Your life's going to be reviewed. You're going to be condemned. And you're going to suffer all eternity in a devil's hell. And you deserve it.
Yeah. I've heard that a lot. But all it does is engender fear. There's nothing about that that gives me any, that's very attractive.
But they say it's just and right.
Yeah, by their thinking.
Because I'm not talking about anybody in particular, but that theology, that's because they've created a God in their own image. And they're worshiping this God that's
vengeful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Filled with hate.
Yeah.
A lot of darkness.
Yeah. Yeah, if you don't accept my free gift of salvation, there'd be hell to pay for
that's
you
right.
later.
That's right. If you don't let me in.
Yeah. I love you enough to do this for you, but yeah. if you don't accept it.
Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart. If you don't repent and let me in, I'm going to kick you to hell.
Yeah. That's right.
What? Oh, that's so strange, isn't it?
Yeah, but when you grow up on it, that's all you think.
Yeah.
Sounds reasonable. I never heard anybody say anything different.
That's a problem we wasn't thinking.
Oh. I would wonder why people have no assurance of their salvation.
Yeah.
Don't want to have any relationship with God because it doesn't engender relationship.
Oh, it's judge. Who wants to go to the courthouse?
Who wants to go drink coffee with the judge?
Pretty remarkable.
Well, and then think about Jesus' teaching about judge not lest you be judged. Matthew 7:1.
Yeah.
And why we struggle with that so much. Because we're trying to look at that from our human judgment and justice standpoint. We don't realize that the life of Jesus was one without judgment.
Yeah. Yeah, he said, I judge no man.
Yeah. So he could love and forgive and heal everybody he came in contact with. Because mm-hmm. he wasn't judging them. Not in that human sense, anyway. He was judging them as his children.
Yes.
As his brothers and sisters.
He was judging them to be worthy.
Yeah.
Because of who they belong to.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds an awful lot like some good news.
That is good news. Because see, when we pass judgment, put a label on them, we categorize them, put them off over here, and we deem them worthy of some human punishment or consequences.
Yeah.
And distance ourselves from them. And we lock them into that, even in our own heart and mind. Well, they're just a whatever, and that's all they're ever going to be. And then that's how we relate to them.
Yeah.
Out of that.
If I can put them in a box, I can disregard them.
I can disregard them.
If I can label them.
Yep.
Oh, that's.
Yeah. So it's just what we do. And then we keep them all out away from us and feel justified.
Yeah.
Because they got a label on that box.
Well, they're not right.
Yeah.
We got them figured
out.
Yeah,
a lot of self-righteousness there.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus is like, that's no way to relate to people.
Yeah.
People sense that. They can feel that. It's not the way of love.
Yeah.
Love's not keeping a record of wrong. Believes all things, hopes all things.
It's patient and kind.
Patient and kind, yeah.
I don't know if we've done justice to this sermon.
I know we haven't.
We've tried to talk a little bit about it.
There's a reason this show's called Finding Our Way.
That's exactly right.
We are still finding our way.
Finding our way, that's right. Yeah. You said something earlier talking about restorative justice and redeeming. That's what God did in Christ. Not just on the cross, but in Christ, in his life that he lived.
Yeah.
And culminating in the cross and the resurrection.
Yeah. Yes.
But Paul said it, God was in Christ reconciling, restoring the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses against them.
Yes.
And along comes religion and says, God has done something in Christ, but if you don't accept it,
he's going to impute your trespasses on you.
Exactly. He's going to hold it against you, but that's not what that verse says.
No. That's what we preached. I preached it for years.
Oh, yeah.
If you reject the you know, what you reject Jesus, then you're just saying, I'll take it all on me.
Yeah.
And God is a good father. They ain't going to let any kid make that mistake.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. Yeah, back going back to something I said earlier, mercy endures forever.
Yeah.
God being just, He is merciful. And that mercy is filled with love. And what McDonald said, He's not bound to punish sin. He's bound to destroy sin.
Yes.
He's going to destroy that hinders you from realizing who you are and who He is in you and the life that's available to you as a son of God. And however long it takes for you to wake up out of your stupor, He's going to be extending mercy and grace to awaken you to that.
Yeah.
That's
Well, He put away sin at the cross.
Oh, yeah.
We can't seem to let go of it, but He put it away. Okay. And dealt with it, destroyed it in His power. We keep giving it life.
We're going to read that after our snack, if we get a snack.
Oh, we're going to get a snack.
We're going to read that after that.
But again, I think of sin and my heritage as wrong behavior.
Little acts. And,
my actions.
Yeah. It's actually a noun.
And then the consequences thereof. But when Jesus dealt with sin, he went to the root of the tree. He didn't just deal with the fruit. Mm-hmm. He went to the root. Mm-hmm. And what was faulty in our thinking, where our belief systems were limited, what was inside of us that was hurt, he did it from the inside.
Yes.
And rescued us there. And
which brings another idea, another thought. This is just crazy to me. But if you can ponder it and ask the Father, I think He can show you. Christ is in you.
Yeah.
That's I don't think, this is my personal opinion, but I don't think anybody ever existed that He wasn't in them.
Yeah, he just couldn't recognize it and see it.
Yeah.
They don't know it when he shows up.
We don't know it now, professing.
No. Well, yeah. I would probably present as my first piece of evidence in the court law here in trying to debate or argue or prove a point, thinking, is in my pastoral ministry, I don't know how many times I have sat with good, solid, born again Christian believers, faithful servants of the Lord, dedicated church members, and they couldn't figure out what God was saying to them, if the Holy Spirit was in them. It just has always baffled me. I don't know that I have an explanation for that other than the depth of blindness and darkness in which we still live is huge.
Yeah.
Because I don't know of, in my opinion, they better Christians than I am.
Yeah.
There's no doubt. I'm not saying these.
Look at their life.
Yeah, look at their life. The fruit's there. But if you ask them, what did the Lord say to you? Or do you sense the Holy Spirit? Any of that? No, He said anything. I don't sense the Holy Spirit. I'd like to feel the Holy Spirit. I'd love to hear Him. And I'm like, well, why? How did that idea come to you to do something nice for your neighbor?
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, I just knew they were sick and thought I'd cook them a meal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you don't think that was the Lord with that idea?
Yeah, wouldn't He?
You know, no, I just thought that. It's just a nice thing to do.
Or I say it wasn't you, it was, but it
was
God.
Well, you're in union, and I think that's part of it. You and the Lord are in such union is that you can't tell you two apart. And I guess maybe I ought to give thanks to my upbringing, is they made such a distinction in the old man that I know when it's the Lord and when it's me.
Should have got us a six pack of these beers.
Pretty good root beer.
Barks, that's the best. Yeah, what was what's that dude's name? Van Teal.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Van Teal, maybe his name. Trying to think of the seminary. Anyway, he talks about certain presuppositions coming to the scriptures with certain presuppositions.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you what they were right now, but at one time I'm like, yeah, this is right. But it's that whole separated idea, sin and separation. We got to do something to receive the blessings of God. I might need to look that up. I got a book. No, it just makes me think about how do we approach scripture. I mean, we're talking about a book that was written in a culture among a people that's 2,000 years old. We know nothing about.
At the minimum.
We know nothing about.
Yeah. I have to admit, it's hard to not approach scripture with a preconceived idea. I mean, it just is. And that's not all bad. I'm not saying you can't forget everything you know or have learned. It's hard to go from, this is what I think I know so far, can I learn something new, to I already know what it says.
Yeah.
And I'm just trying to find more confirmation and proof.
Yeah.
And those are two different thoughts. I did something early in my ministry, and I did it on purpose, but I didn't necessarily know the good fruit that would come out of it over time. And that is, I had a Bible that I started with. It was all marked up. And then that was one I had as a kid. It was, you know, I started preaching out of that. And then I got another, a pastor bought me a preaching Bible, you know, a little bigger, had some study notes in it. My first Bible didn't have any study notes, but it had some notes and such, and it was fine. But I marked it up because that's what you did. Everybody in church marked their Bible up, okay? And I'm not knocking marking your Bibles, okay? That's not the point of this. But what I got to noticing about myself is you read through and you mark it up, and then when you go back to read it again, all I can think about is what I've marked and what I've written. And I was having trouble thinking of fresh or new or fresh approach.
Yeah.
Or what else might this tell me? I noticed that. And the other thing I noticed was, when I went to look something up, I could just remember in my mind, well, it's the top of the page to the right. It's underlined over here. Oh, there it is right there. Because I knew it kind of like a geography, you know, where it was on the page and how I'd marked it up. So I had this kind of a pictorial memory about where Bible verses were, and I could find it.
Yeah.
And I'd go visit at somebody's home. They start asking me some Bible questions. And I go, well, here, I'll show that to you in the Bible. Hand me your Bible. Well, they hand me their Bible, and I couldn't find it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, in my Bible, it's over here, and it's underlined, and I know how to find it. I just can't find it in yours. So out of that, I thought, okay, I'm going to get me a new preaching Bible, study Bible, and I am not going to put a mark in it. That when I'm reading for study, I am not going to mark in this particular Bible. It's going to be my reading Bible and my preaching Bible. So that's what it was, and it was a hard practice to break for me.
Yeah,
I'll say that. But I was committed to doing that. The end result out of that is, I learned scripture by chapter and verse very well. And I was always getting a fresh look at scripture when I'm reading it, to some degree, which was a help. And it really has helped me over time.
Yeah, I was reading one of my Bibles here just last week, I think. It's a wide margin, large print. It's a preaching Bible. Of course, I got notes in it because it's wide margin.
Right.
I'm reading that, and I'm like, no, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. You know, the notes.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's a record of what you believed that season of your life.
Yeah,
yeah. You have a living, growing faith. Well, and I have at least... You've given me two Bibles that I know of. At least two. Might be more. Give me lots of books, but I know I have two of your Bibles. Maybe three.
Yeah, you got a nice Cambridge edition of the New King James. It's wide margin.
Yes.
That's a nice Bible.
It is a nice Bible.
Must have been a good friend that gave you that one.
And he did. He loved me tremendously. I use that Bible. Now that Bible, I do mark.
Well, it's made for mark.
It's wide margin, made for marking. You got marks and notes in it, and I use it. It's my what I call my discipleship Bible. When I do small groups or just with a couple of men, the discipleship stuff, I use that Bible and make my notes.
That probably fits you just right.
What's that?
That Bible, the size of it and all that, it's nice.
Yeah. That's what I remember about when I started preaching and...
Cowhide on it, not that old vinyl mess.
My first preaching Bible was a Dixon. Dixon was
my dad had one of those.
Yeah, I wore that one out.
Hey, thanks for listening to us talk about how we're finding our way. We hope it helps you find your way to experiencing the goodness of our Heavenly Father, the abundant life Jesus shares with us now, and the immeasurable love He has for everyone. For more information or to contact us, go to our website, findingourway.co.